The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and today something to discuss that affects so many different functions of our bodies. And mainstream medicine seems to turn their head the other way and not pay any attention at all to this subject, the source of so much illness. What am I talking about? Toxic accumulations. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. What are we going to cover with regard to this today?
Good morning, Janet. I wanted to talk about the trial to assess chelation therapy. And it's a continuation of what we've been talking about the last couple of days, how you have the science telling us one thing, and then you have mainstream medicine, which is a reflection of the pharmaceutical industry and insurance companies, telling us something else. So they did a, this study was sponsored by the government. It started back in 2003, and it completed in 2012. So that was a pretty long study. The first part of the study was completed in 2011, so it was, you know, at least a 8-year study, and
that's pretty comprehensive, way more than we've been getting with GMOs.
Right, and what they wanted to see was whether chelation therapy would be effective in helping prevent future cardiovascular events. And the reason I say it that way is because in order to get into the study, you had to meet certain criteria. You had to be at least 50 years or older. They took both men
and women. You had to be a man or a woman.
But here's the key one. You had to have had a heart attack at least 6 weeks prior to the start of the study. And the reason they wanted people with heart attacks, this way they pre-selected their population that they were looking at, a population with known cardiovascular disease. So the expectations were that people would have future problems, and then they, you know, in a shorter period of time, so they could evaluate the effect of chelation. And then they had some exclusionary criteria, had to do with if you had high blood pressure or if you had chelation before, you know, things like that, or if you were a cigarette smoker. So that's what they did. So they set up this study, which was sponsored by the National Institute of Health.
Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and the National Center for Complementary Medicine.
So like I said, you know, they ran this study, and I think they ran the study to prove once and for all that chelation was ineffective. And the reason I say that is,
so they had a pre-conclusion in mind?
Well, they have that with all studies. You know, I think a lot of times when the drug companies do their study, they want to prove that their drug is a worthwhile drug. Many times it isn't, but they can use the study to prove it. But here, all the let's say the pressure was on for this study because they really wanted to show that chelation wasn't very effective. And they divided the people in the study into four groups. Clearly, one was a placebo group, and a placebo was getting an IV, which was not chelation. Then you would get also a placebo IV with vitamins. And then you had the other group where you got chelation therapy, you know, intravenous chelation therapy. And then the last group was intravenous chelation therapy with vitamins.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, might those placebo infusions benefit the participants just by way of hydration?
Would they get benefit just from, well, I would have done the study differently. I would have only done real chelation therapy because we know what happens to people who've had heart attacks and a history of heart disease. We know what the progression of that illness is with mainstream medicine's approach. So all you had to do is just do chelation therapy on people because it was very difficult. It was a double-blinded study, but people, after a short time, knew they were in the placebo group, and they dropped out, a lot of them.
Interesting.
Because, you know, they didn't see, these are people that had heart disease, remember, and they wanted to get treated. They didn't want to spend the next couple of years, you know, not getting real treatment.
One of the things that they were given was a 500 milliliter infusion every week. How long might that take to deliver 500 milliliters of fluid?
About 3 hours.
Okay. And so further down the road to this today, I want to talk about what is referred to as short bags in the chelation therapy approach.
So they had over 2,300 patients in the study and over 100 research sites. In other words, carried out at over 100 doctors' offices. I think part of the reason for the study, and again, I think that mainstream medicine doesn't like the competition with doctors that perform chelation therapy. They said in 1997, there were over 800,000 patient visits to get chelation therapy in the United States. In 1 year alone, 800,000 visits for chelation therapy.
Essentially 20 years ago.
Well, it's that long ago, right. So if you don't know what chelation is, it's the use of EDTA, which is a chelating agent. It's put in an IV bag along with other nutrients. And its purpose is to remove heavy metals from the body, heavy metals such as lead, arsenic, mercury.
Nickel, cadmium.
Cadmium.
What about aluminum? Does that come in there too?
Yeah, to some extent it will. It also removes nutrient minerals. That's why it's important to take vitamins when you you do this procedure.
I'm so very, very interested because it pulls calcium. And one of the things I talk to my clients about all the time is calcium being deposited where it shouldn't be. So it isn't being metabolized properly and driven into long bones. It's in soft tissue. And EDTA helps to remove that calcification from soft tissue.
Now, this is I'm actually reading from the NationalInstituteOfHealth.gov website about the trial, and they go on to say that although EDTA chelation therapy is not approved by the FDA to treat coronary artery disease, some physicians and alternative medicine practitioners have recommended chelation as a way to treat atherosclerosis.
Dr. Slavin, one of the things that I talk to people about, these are natural approaches that will remove toxic accumulations from your body, all over your body. It might also, while it's doing that very efficiently, it might remove hardened debris from your arteries. But I'm quite careful not to say that it is a treatment.
Okay, so they go on to say, they describe, you know, what the coronary artery disease is. It's the buildup of plaque in the coronary arteries, and if you get too much of a blockage, it becomes symptomatic. You get chest pain known as angina. And then they go on to say there are standard and well-proven ways to reduce the risks or complications from coronary artery disease. And we're all familiar with these. Stop smoking, control your high blood pressure, control high cholesterol, and make certain lifestyle changes. And then they have the more invasive procedures that are used to treat symptomatic coronary artery disease. So you're treating the high blood pressure and the high cholesterol before you become symptomatic. And once you become symptomatic, then they have the balloon angioplasty for you or bypass surgery. So, I mean, this is the mainstream medicine approach. And as we've been talking about this week, so, okay, we've been using these approaches for over 50 years now. And yet heart disease is still the number one killer in this country. What's wrong with that picture? And they say, NHLBI director, Claude L'Enfant, MD, he says it's important for heart disease patients to know whether we should add chelation therapy to the list of proven treatments for coronary artery disease. They say scientific evidence is needed to resolve this issue, and only a large clinical trial can definitively answer the question of whether chelation treatment is truly safe and effective.
It's very, very interesting, because when did this large scientifically organized clinical trial end, Dr. Slavin?
I think we said earlier around 2011.
2011, the early information came in. 2012, the definitive information. Oh, and this is 2016. Yeah. And have we added this to our approaches?
Not only hasn't been approved, nobody talks about it. And I'm going to give you the results of the trial shortly. So the trial had a little over 2,300 patients over the age of 50 who had had a heart attack. $30 million study, you know, was led by Dr. Lamas out of Miami. And the whole approach or reason for the trial was to determine whether EDTA chelation therapy along with vitamin therapy was an effective approach in the treatment of coronary artery disease. Now, they say vitamin and mineral supplements consistent with the regimen used by practitioners who do chelation therapy were also used in the study. So basically, they did a study that followed the way chelation, the way those 800,000 people a year get chelation in this country.
Yes, and that was 1997, yes. 800,000.
Right.
Yeah. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Very, very interesting information. We're talking right now about coronary artery disease and chelation therapy and the science behind it, and you'll get more in-depth information when we come back. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and as always, Monday through Friday from 10 to 11, Dr. Herb Slavin and I are here talking about the information that you can use to enhance the quality of your life. And today, we're reviewing the results of the TACT trial to assess chelation therapy. Dr. Slavin?
Well, just a little back. A little background. Chelation therapy has actually been in use since the 1940s. And back in the 1940s, the use of chelation was mainstream because they didn't have the ability to do open heart surgery. And they really didn't have too many other treatments, and including medications for heart disease. They had nitroglycerin. So chelation therapy was being used. And the way it was discovered, they had treated military personnel for lead poisoning. And the accepted treatment, even by mainstream medicine, for lead poisoning is EDTA chelation therapy.
So Dr. Sanjay Gupta needs to update his information, because he said on national TV that those children who are dealing with lead poisoning in Flint, Michigan, and surrounding central state towns, that there is no cure. And indeed, chelation therapy is very appropriate for getting the lead out.
I guess they want to keep that information secret, because they don't want this information getting out, actually. But anyway, so the way it was discovered, some of the people with lead poisoning had angina, had coronary artery disease, and along with their improvement from lead poisoning, their symptoms of coronary artery disease disappeared. And some of the observers put two and two together there. They said maybe there's something about treating lead and improving coronary artery disease. So they repeated this, doing chelation therapy, and they found, indeed, it did make people better. Now, but that wasn't enough to keep it mainstream. What happened was, as we see over and over again through the years, a more lucrative approach to treating coronary artery disease became available once the heart-lung bypass machine was invented, so they can do the open heart surgery. And say, boy, we can make a lot of money doing that. We don't have to do chelation therapy. So that's what happened. And then chelation therapy was no longer a mainstream approach.
Dr. Slavin, just stepping aside from the coronary artery disease perspective, once again, going back to lead, one of the heavy metals that displaces calcium in bones and leads to a diagnosis of osteopenia or osteoporosis may be lead. And it is one of the approaches that Medicare does pay for. So if your lead levels are high, you can have chelation therapy to bring the lead levels down, and it is covered by Medicare, correct?
It's covered by insurance for lead elevations in lead levels.
Okay, so even people who are not covered by Medicare health insurance, their health insurance companies pay for that.
And if they don't pay for it, I would question them and say, well, how are you going to treat the patient with, elevated lead levels in their body? You know how they treat them here? They treat them with bypass surgery. They treat them with angioplasty. They don't treat the underlying cause. In many cases, what happens is, if you want to understand this a little better, when you start accumulating these heavy metals and your body has them buried in the tissues, it also displaces nutrient minerals. So now you're becoming deficient in the important minerals your body needs, like magnesium. So we see this pretty much always in conjunction with heavy metal toxicity is low levels of nutrient minerals like magnesium.
And very often, if you're going to your mainstream cardiologist, he'll measure your serum magnesium level and say, see, you've got plenty of magnesium circulating in your body. It's the wrong test.
So what I So let's fast forward to, 2003, and they finally got the government to pay for a trial. Just a little aside here, Linus Pauling wanted the government to pay for a trial to assess the effectiveness of vitamin C and lysine in the treatment of coronary artery disease, and twice the NIH refused to do that. Why wouldn't they want to disprove something as simple as that to treat coronary artery disease? My thinking is maybe because they know they couldn't.
Well, the thing is, I think that the NIH, very, very much the revolving door NIH, FDA, and pharmaceutical companies, when there is a very, very reasonable approach that pre-scurvy diagnosis, so to speak, and they already knew that that would be a successful approach to preventing the inflammation and ultimately the deposit of toxic debris in the arteries.
So in 2003, this trial was began and ended around 2013. And I'm looking now, because this is all public information. You could Google trial to assess chelation therapy. I just Googled the results of the trial to assess chelation therapy.
This is on AmericanHeart.org.
Right. And so the endpoints, what they discovered after doing this, so we mentioned this is either people getting chelation therapy or not getting it, basically. So... And they were looking for endpoints. How do they determine, what were they looking for to determine whether or not chelation therapy showed any benefit at all? Well, they looked at all causes of death. That was an endpoint. A repeat heart attack, a repeat stroke, or a new stroke. The need for surgery or angioplasty or hospitalization for chest pain. So those were the endpoints that they were looking to see what difference they would have. The secondary endpoints, those were the primary ones, was death from cardiovascular disease or a non-fatal heart attack or a non-fatal stroke. So this is what they were looking at to determine whether or not chelation therapy offered the patients any benefit. Now, I want to repeat something. Over in 1997... over 800,000 chelation treatments were administered in this country that had nothing to do with the trial to assess chelation therapy.
Before the trial.
Yeah. So chelation therapy, a lot of people are using it and getting good results, and it wouldn't have lasted for over 50 years as a treatment if it didn't work. So I just want to remind people of that. So they finally got this study put through. And here are the results. So they found that there was an overall improvement of 18%. So in other words, if you got chelation therapy, you did 18% better than if you didn't get chelation therapy. But there were subgroups in the study. For example, there were some of the patients with coronary artery disease that got into the study because they had a heart attack also had diabetes. So that's an even higher risk group. And that group actually showed a 39% benefit from chelation compared to the placebo.
Okay, so the diabetic patients had almost 40% reduction in a clinical event with relation to their heart and circulatory function and their diabetes. Very astonishing numbers.
And then the other group that really had a marked benefit from it were those that had a heart attack that affected the anterior wall of their heart. Because normally you have an anterior wall heart attack or an inferior wall. So it was the anterior wall that saw a major benefit also of around 37%. Then overall, the death rate was less, was 7% less in the chelation group. It prevented heart attacks 23%, prevented strokes 23%, prevented the additional need for heart surgery or stents by 19%, and prevented heart cardiac hospitalizations by 28%. Now, why would they be against something like this if they truly were interested in getting, keeping people from getting sicker, let's say, because they started off being sick already? Because people that go for chelation fall into, I think, one of three groups. One group is people that want to prevent illness. Okay, that makes sense. They're not sick. They want to prevent illness. Then you have the people who got sick and they want to treat their illness with chelation. And the last group are the people who were treated with bypass or angioplasty and their symptoms have returned. And then they come for chelation because they find that chelation, well, number one, they would never want to go through that procedure again, bypass or angioplasty. Not very pleasant. So they come for chelation.
And Dr. Slavin, after bypass surgery and after angioplasty, might most of those patients be told by their physicians, you must be taking these pharmaceuticals for the rest of your lives?
Of course. Mainstream medicine never really looks to the underlying cause of why people get sick. They just throw the drugs at people or the surgery and things like that. But here's the conclusions that, you know, I just read off the results of the trial, how beneficial it was. By the way, remember, this is comparing chelation therapy to placebo, but the placebo group were getting mainstream treatments. So this is above and beyond what mainstream medicine has to offer, 39% improvement in the diabetic or the anterior wall MI group. So here's what the American Heart Association has to say about it.
This was in 5-inch high headline letters on most newspapers, right, Dr. Slavin?
And it was a banner on all the news stations, too.
Oh, right. We're going to have to wait just a minute for the continuation of our discussion. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com. naturaldoc.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Just before we get back to the discussion, I want to let everybody know that from 12 to 2 today on Hallandale Beach Boulevard, I will be answering questions about supplement use and dietary choices at Locatel. So just east of US 1, Locatel, and I will be there answering nutrition questions from 12 to 2. Dr. Slavin, very important information we're sharing with our listeners today.
Well, I'm sort of reminding everybody about the trial to assess chelation therapy, since no one else is.
So, like, this is old news, but it sure is news that has not been disseminated to the population.
Well, I like the saying that President Truman had. And I'm sure maybe there are other people that said it as well. The only thing new in the world is the history you haven't read. So if you haven't read about this, it's new to you. So the trial to assess chelation therapy completed in after about 8 years. It was completed around 2013. And they found that the people who got into, you had to have had a heart attack to get into the trial in the first place and be over the age of 50. Those who had had a heart attack along with diabetes saw a 39% improvement. Those who had an anterior wall heart attack had a 37% improvement. And by improvement, it means compared to placebo, you didn't have a subsequent complication, meaning death or another heart attack or stroke or the need for repeat surgery, angioplasty, or hospitalization. So the way the American Heart Association concluded about this trial, they said that post-MI patients who received chelation therapy had fewer clinical events versus placebo. The two groups that benefited the most were those with diabetes and those who had experienced an anterior wall MI. But then they go on to say additional research is needed to confirm these findings and to understand the mechanism of action for the benefits seen in this trial. This is not ready for implementation into clinical practice. Now, remember I said in 1997, and remind you, chelation has been used for over 50 years anyway. In 1997, 800,000 chelation treatments were performed in this country. But it's not ready for implementation into clinical practice, despite all these benefits that were seen. So I just, this tells you where the mindset is of mainstream medicine. You have to, draw your own conclusions. But so many people, you know, run to the doctors. They get loaded up with medication. Earlier this week, I was addressing the point that for the last 80 years, heart disease has been the number one killer. We haven't made a dent in it, but we've made a lot of money on it. I mean, that's
A lot of people have suffered over those 80 years with the mainstream medical treatments.
Well, if you think about how mainstream medicine works, if you remember what I said earlier, what they want to remove the risk factors for heart disease. So what do? They treat high blood pressure. They treat high cholesterol. They tell you to stop smoking and make lifestyle changes. And even with all that advice, people continue to get heart disease, continue to die. It's still the number one killer. So what are they missing?
Well, the interesting make lifestyle changes recommendation, I very often hear from clients that I work with, and their statement is their doctor tells them to make these changes but does not offer any very specific information about exactly what changes they need to make. And so here's my review of all of this, Dr. Slavin. Okay, what's the underlying cause? Possibly nutrient deficiency, possibly overabundance of calories and underabundance of nutrients. So we have people who are literally starving for quality nutrient support to their cells.
Well, think of it this way. If the underlying cause were indeed smoking, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol, we should have cured the whole epidemic of heart disease.
50 years ago, we should be a nation of very, very healthy individuals, but take a look at what we eat.
We continue to let people get sick so we can make a lot of money treating them instead of doing a better job in preventing heart disease.
Okay, but who's responsible for the prevention? The individual.
Well, exactly. And the individual, unfortunately, isn't being told because when they go to the doctor, they say, just take this high blood pressure medicine, you'll be fine. How long should I take it, doc? The rest of your life. And if you should ever ask them what's causing my high blood pressure, that's when you get thrown out of the office.
Well, they'd be saying, you must be using too much salt. That's really the issue with your high blood pressure. Too high sodium intake, when indeed it's too high processed carbs, too high sugar.
It's the diet. And one other thing, it's also stress. So diet and stress.
Okay, so you mentioned about a mineral earlier in the show, magnesium. Magnesium is a muscle relaxer. Our blood vessels are muscle tissue. So if you want to support your body's ability to reduce blood pressure, take magnesium. What's one of the symptoms that someone very much is dealing with high stress? Muscle contraction. So start with a little bit of magnesium. That goes a very long way to helping you reduce the physical effects that you may be experiencing because of stress.
I have an even better suggestion.
You do?
Test your magnesium level.
Oh, and not your serum magnesium level.
Yeah. You can get, even the mainstream doctors know how to order a red blood cell magnesium.
They know how to do it, but they don't do it. Why don't they do it, Dr. Slavin?
They are robots, basically, and everybody comes in, gets the same minimal treatment, meaning you get a complete blood count, a chemistry panel.
So they test calcium, but very rarely do they even test serum magnesium, which is worthless.
And there is another test available. If you wanted to see if you are at increased risk of developing heart disease, you can do a perfusion. You can do a
heart rate variability.
No. The calcium score.
Okay. And after chelation, and you go and do your calcium score. What is your calcium score?
Well, it depends where you started, but what the calcium score will tell you, it's a indicator of how much plaque you have in your coronary arteries, and they will tell you whether you have more than expected for your age and gender, and then you could decide you want to make the changes to help prevent it from progressing. But isn't it interesting? That's not a test that's routinely recommended for people. They wait till you get sick, and then they do a stress test. Now, a stress test is not a test to identify coronary artery disease, because you can have severe coronary artery disease and still pass a stress test. The stress test is to find people to do surgery on. Because if you fail the stress test, now you're a candidate for surgery, either bypass or angioplasty. So that's what the stress test is for. If you want to find people in the earliest stages of coronary artery disease, do the calcium score.
Okay, so might people be told pretty routinely by their doctors, here, take this calcium formula? Might they be told pretty routinely, oh, just any multivitamin from a drugstore is sufficient? You don't have to go for any of those mega dose vitamin products. And pretty much say, well, whatever magnesium you might pick up from the drugstore, that's fine. That'll help balance the calcium. Well, don't forget to take your vitamin D. 400 IUs of vitamin D should be sufficient to keep you metabolizing calcium correctly. But the truth of the matter is, quality matters. Quality matters in your food choices. Quality matters with regard to your supplement choices. So you want to be testing your vitamin D levels. That plays a role in this entire discussion with regard to how well you're going to metabolize calcium and keep calcium from depositing in your soft tissue. Vitamin D also being very, very helpful at supporting your immune system as a secondary benefit. What happens is with a highly functional immune system, you have the potential to have a lower inflammatory response. Magnesium, typically available in drug stores, big box stores, discount stores, and so on, you might find very often is magnesium oxide. And unfortunately, that is not the quality choice that you need to really make a very beneficial difference in your magnesium status. And as Dr. Slavin said, red blood cell magnesium level, that's the way to know whether the magnesium in your body is at a sufficient level to be functioning in all of the different ways that it's meant to function. Dr. Slavin, is there a particular form of magnesium that you believe people should be using on a regular basis? And is there a particular dose of vitamin D do you suggest?
Well, when it comes to vitamin D, the dosage I see that seems to be required to get your levels up to the optimum range is about 10,000 units a day. When it comes to magnesium, the one that seems to have the least laxative effect would be the magnesium glycinate, although there are some new forms we have that have come out that may work even better. And as far as dosing goes, you have to really determine the dose by trial and error. And by that I mean you might start off taking one or two magnesium tablets a day, and I would space it out. Don't take it all at once. And increase it until it gives you affects your or causes a loose stool, and then you back down a little bit. So I think those would be my recommendations. There's one other thing we mentioned, that despite all these treatments used to, quote, prevent heart disease, you know, lower your cholesterol, lower your blood pressure, we see just as many deaths from heart disease every year, number one leading cause of death. I think the use of statin drugs may not have helped lower that number.
My opinion of the statin drugs is that it may have contributed to possibly a lot of memory and brain function issues in people over 65. The statin class drugs might have contributed to possibly the rise in sudden death from heart failure, possibly even contributing to a number of different liver issues. So we don't necessarily see those listed as a primary cause of death, but those very well may be secondary factors in the mortality figures that we see every year. That music means, once again, we need to take a short break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Tune in to Natural Doc Radio each weekday morning, 10 a.m., right here on this station. Sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers.
At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking about chelation therapy and the very important and different number of ways that you can support overall good health by ridding yourself of toxic metals. So mercury, aluminum, cadmium, arsenic, all of those very, very dangerous chemicals that accumulate in our bodies, suppress our immune systems, displace nutrient minerals, create all kinds of problems. It has been scientifically proven through that trial to assess chelation therapy that chelation therapy works with regard to cardiovascular disease, preventing secondary events, making a very, very big difference for that at-risk category. I'm speaking about people who've been diagnosed with diabetes. So if you want to learn a little bit more about chelation therapy, you can just Google drslavin.com, the Institute of Advanced Medicine, and even AMT Centers. There's lots of information on the internet with regard to all of the work that Dr. Slavin has been doing over many, many years to support people with coronary issues, heart issues, circulatory issues, and immune issues. Dr. Slavin, for supporting immune function and reducing inflammation, do you have anything to say about chelation therapy with regard to those issues?
Well, I think the impediment to everyone's health is a reflection of the accumulation of toxic substances in our body, including heavy metals. So anything that removes them is going to help. Now, I just want to talk about another study that was done in chelation, not in this country, and it was not a double-blind placebo-controlled study. It was really more of a retrospective look at what happened to people that were chelated. And this was a small town in Europe near a highway during the time when there was lead in the gasoline. And they found that there was actually a 90% reduction in cancer in those people that were chelated.
Happy day.
So now, even if you go to a mainstream site, they say chelation therapy is used as a treatment for metal poisoning, including mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, even uranium, plutonium. That's the indication. And we mentioned earlier, that's how it was discovered. People were being treated for lead poisoning, and they found that their heart disease symptoms improved. Could it be that most of us have been exposed to these toxic heavy metals, and that's why chelation seems to be helpful for you know, so many problems?
I decided that at 50 years of age, I must have accumulated a lot of toxic heavy metals and just toxic substances just by living in the world. And I've done chelation therapy. Very, very important for people to understand. Don't even, in my opinion, don't even have to have this toxic accumulation that is creating symptoms. Reduce the potential offenders before they create problems.
So chelation therapy has been around for a long time, continues to be an effective treatment. Still not endorsed by the medical community, despite the studies that show, for example, the TAC trial that showed as much as a 36% improvement in diabetics and patients who have had a prior anterior wall MI. And if you're still a skeptic.
I'm not. Convince me.
I recommend you do a test for heavy metals.
Okay.
But not a blood test, because the heavy metals are not stored in your blood. They're stored in your tissue. So you have to do a test that is more reflective of your tissue levels. And that would be a chelation challenge test, where you're given either an IV or oral chelating agent, and then your urine is collected so they can see what toxins are being pulled out of your body, what have accumulated in your body. And then you can say, I'm doing chelation for the treatment of heavy metal toxicity, and you'll see the benefit from all the other issues that are associated with poisoning. If you were to look up the side effects of lead poisoning, you would see a lot of the symptoms associated with that mainstream medicine just throws drugs at to treat.
One of the things that I'm seeing on that website that was just up on the computer, Dr. Slavin, was the use of DMSA orally, very specifically to treat lead poisoning in children. Now, once again, we know about the thousands of children suffering with lead intoxication in Flint, Michigan. What about the use of that as an oral chelator for kids? What do you think?
You can use it. You can compound it into a oral liquid that they can swallow. But it has to be done under proper supervision by doctors who are used to treating children.
Okay, so some of the symptoms that children might exhibit. And what about newborns? We kind of look at newborns as, they're starting with a clean slate. Is that true?
No. They're starting with their mother's slate. And you have to, I'm just thinking about Flint, Michigan, where that made headlines about all the lead in the water. People weren't aware of that until somebody said, boy, a lot of kids are coming to the ER, and we tested them for lead. You know, and they did a blood test. You know, it has to be really high to show up in the blood. So how many people are being exposed to lead? And my answer is lots. Now, what are some of the side effects of lead poisoning? Because we're not exposed to super high levels. We're exposed to chronic low-level exposure, and they accumulate over time. So as by the Mayo Clinic, high blood pressure.
Mainstream as you can get.
High blood pressure, constipation, joint pains, decline in muscle, mental function, pain and numbness and tingling in the extremities, headaches, memory issues, mood disorders, reduced sperm count, and even miscarriage and premature birth. How many of the people with those symptoms are ever being checked for lead poisoning? I would venture to say close to zero, because why should we address the underlying cause of your infertility, for example, when we can just take a lot of money from you to do artificial treatments for fertility instead of looking for the underlying cause?
I'm going to say something very far out. Okay. Microcephaly with regard to heavy metals. I know that there's a connection with the microcephaly in newborns with regard to exposure to pesticides, herbicides, insecticides. So very interesting. I wonder if there's anything with regard to microcephaly and heavy metals in mom.
I think the possibility exists that there could be a connection between the two. And I don't think they, you know, every child born with microcephaly didn't have the Zika virus. In fact, I think it was only 5%.
Right. Very, very low percentage of those microcephaly cases actually confirmed connection to Zika virus.
You could say it's a congenital defect, which it is. Anytime you're born with a problem, that's a congenital defect, which means probably DNA has been damaged somewhere along the line. And heavy metals, you know, can do that. So, but that would require, you know, a real study to show that connection. And that would be a difficult one to do.
But we're spending how many billion dollars to create a vaccine against the Zika virus? Oh, not money or money not well spent. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'll be at Locatel from 12 to 2 on Hallandale Beach Boulevard and back tomorrow at 10. See you then.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio. Brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time. And get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.